sarvatra, sarvada, srotavya, kirtitavyas, cha, smartavyo, bhagavan, nirnam, tasmat sarvat, Manarajan Hari Sarvatra Sarvada Srotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyo Bhagavan Nirnam Asmat sarvatmana rajan Hari sarvatma sarvada Srotavya kirtitavyascha Smartavyo bhagavan nirnam Tasmat sarvatmana rajan Hari sarvatma sarvada Srotavya kirtitavyascha Smartavyo bhagavan nirnam Atmana. So, Rajan. O King. Hari. The Lord. Sarvatra. Everywhere. Sarvada. Always. Srotavya. Must be heard. Kirtitavya. Glorified. Cha. Also. Smartavya. Be remembered. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nirnam. By the human being. O King, it is therefore essential that every living being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Shukadev Goswami begins this verse with the word tasmat, or therefore, because in the previous verse he has already explained that there is no auspicious means for salvation other than the sublime process of Bhakti Yoga. The Bhakti Yoga process is practiced by the devotees in different methods, like hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, rendering service in love, becoming friendly, and offering all that one may possess. All nine methods are bona fide methods, and either all of them, some of them, or even one of them can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of Bhakti Yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there, compiled by authorized persons like Vyasadeva, who is the all-powerful incarnation of Godhead. And since it has been ascertained that the Lord is the supersoul of everything, He should therefore be heard and glorified everywhere and always. That is the special duty of the human being. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about the all-pervading personality of Godhead, he becomes victim to hearing rubbish transmitted by man-made machines. Machinery is not bad, because through the machine one could take advantage of hearing about the Lord. But because machinery is used for ulterior purposes, it is creating rapid degradation in the standard of human civilization. It is said here that it is incumbent upon the human being to hear, because the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are made for that purpose. Living beings other than human beings have no ability to hear such Vedic literatures. If human society gives itself to the process of hearing the Vedic literature, it will not become a victim to the impious sounds vibrated by impious men who degrade the standards of the total society. Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead, and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. All the great acharyas, like Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Saraswati Thakur, or even in other countries, Muhammad, Christ, and others, have all extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always and in every place. Because the Lord is all-pervading, it is essential to glorify Him always and everywhere. In the process of glorifying the Lord, there should be no restriction of time and space. This is called Sanatana Dharma, or Bhagavat Dharma. Sanatan means eternal, always, everywhere. Bhagavat means pertaining to Bhagavan, the Lord. The Lord is the master of all time and all space, and therefore the Lord's holy name must be heard, glorified, and remembered everywhere in the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. The word cha includes all the remaining processes or methods of bhakti yoga as mentioned above.
Dandasya Jananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Nididam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam, Sri Gurum Vaishnavanscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajataham, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Sapadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Padahan Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vidhamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Tasmat Sarvatmana Rajan Hari Sarvatra Sarvada Srotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavya Bhagavan Nirnam. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hereabout glorify and remember the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 36. This chapter is entitled The Lord of the Heart. I am very grateful to be with Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. Radha Gopinath Temple and all of Srila Prabhupada's blessed temples have especially been provided for this purpose, wherein sincere souls from all places, from all walks of life, with all various designations, could come together to hear and chant the names, the qualities, and the glories of the Lord. To help one another be absorbed in this process of bhakti. And then to carry that blessing wherever we may go. When Srila Prabhupada first came from India, or Bharat, he boarded Jaladuta, EMV Jaladuta, at the King George Dockyard in Calcutta. The cargo ship went south to Kanyakumari, and then northern on the Arabian Sea on the western coast of India, stopped in Cochin. In Cochin, that is where Srila Prabhupada celebrated Janmashtami and his 69th Vyas Puja. Of course, he didn't have Vyasasang, so flower garlands or devotees singing songs. It was just him and some of the workers on the cargo ship. Srila Prabhupada made some prasad, gave a little talk on Krishna and distributed it, and that was it. But it was at that place in Cochin that the boxes, the wooden crates filled with Srimad Bhagavatams, were brought across India and boarded the Jaladuta. And it was from there with Srimad Bhagavatam that he departed from the soils of Bharat to sail to the Western world. when he arrived in America. We know the story. After 38 days and so many challenges, he was collected by a stranger and put on a bus and sent to a little town, Butler, Pennsylvania. And I would say 99% of Americans at that time didn't even know that Butler, Pennsylvania existed. What to speak of the rest of the world? Europe, South America, Australia, India. Had any of you ever heard of Butler, Pennsylvania? I never heard. And I was not far away either. So that was where Prabhupada was brought to begin an international movement. Most unlikely place. No money, no contacts. No one at all from India had the confidence or the means to help him in any way possible. And this American lady, somewhat of a devout Christian, Sally Agarwal, she liked Prabhupada like her father because he just had such good character. She wasn't really what we would call a devotee, but she just thought his character was so special. He was so kind. He was so kind. That she allowed him to come and cook in her house every day. And when he decided to go to New York, she was so worried. How will he survive? He seems to be so helpless. And when he was in New York, of course, he lived for almost a year with no apparent success. He was trying to get some places, and one after another, they failed. Tried to get some followers, but then he was betrayed. But he felt the great need of human society. In 1922, at Ultadunga Junction, the Bhaktivinoda Asana, when he first met his Guru Maharaj, he heard the statement that the only real problem is we're disconnected from Krishna, and the only real solution is Krishna consciousness. This may sound like a very relative or simple statement, but it really is at the very heart of truth. Wherever there's wisdom of an understanding of what is reality, then this simple statement is the most essential truth. Everything's changing in this world. But the one thing that never changes is our existence. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. We are eternal. Full of knowledge, full of happiness. We are the soul. And the soul's nature is we are heart of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established his entire theology on the basis of Jivera Swarupai Krishna Nityadas. We are eternal servants of Krishna. Krishna consciousness means understanding I'm not this body or all of its designations. I am eternal soul. And my only shelter, my only happiness, my only reality is in reviving and understanding my relationship with God. When Srila Prabhupada came off Jaladutta, he had faith in his success. Although from a relative material perspective, there was really no hope that he could do anything. But he had faith in the order of his spiritual master to bring Krishna consciousness to the world. He had faith in the holy name of Krishna. And he had faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he was carrying with him in many boxes. A little later, when 26 Second Avenue was bought, which was almost a year later, a little storefront, he began to translate more and more of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is for the older devotees of our movement. We remember this very in a very special way. When Srila Prabhupada was in India, it took several years to finally have the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in three volumes. And His Holiness Satsarupa Goswami Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita describes the struggles, complications, and efforts that Srila Prabhupada had in publishing these books. Because in those days, getting paper was extremely restrictive in India. You had to have high connections just to get paper to publish on. What to speak of a publisher? And what to speak of money for publication? And what to speak of typing and layout and edit and binding and all of that. Srila Prabhupada was just sitting alone in his rooms at Sri Radha Damodar Temple with a manual typewriter. I think that they're extinct at this time. Typewriters, so there's no electrical current, no computers and word processors and all of these things. But then you had to be changing the ribbons, and if you made a mistake, you'd have to erase it with your hands, and so many things. And you'd have to push very hard to make the letter come up and go. When he was in America, he had none of these facilities. He actually had such better facilities in India. In America, he didn't have any facilities at the beginning. So his translations and purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, he would publish in a very simple paperback form, one chapter at a time. Have anyone seen these? The second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is one chapter at a time in many small little paper books. and one was the Lord in the heart. And in the cover there was a painting of one of the devotees of the Paramatma sitting in the heart. So that is the chapter we are reading today. And when the means become more, then Srila Prabhupada published the entire second canto into the book form, all the chapters. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it begins with the first step of God realization. And Sukadeva Goswami is answering the questions of Maharaj Parikshit. In this particular chapter, The Lord in the Heart, it begins by describing that unless we come in contact with the Lord in the heart, no matter where else we, wherever else we go in the entire cosmic manifestation, we will never find peace or happiness. We can never find truth. The Bhagavad Gita tells Abrahma Bhavana Loka Punaravartana Jana Mamupecha Tukonteya Punar Janmana Vichyate. Within this universe, which is still so unfathomable, even to great scientists, the highest planet in the universe, Ramaloka, we can't find that. Down to the lowest, Patala Loka, we can't find that either. They're places of inevitable misery, because there will be old age, disease, and death. And the relative experience from our side makes a big difference, but from their side it doesn't make really that much difference. Within this world we see sometimes very, very tiny ants. There are so many different species of ants. Some are really big, and they bite really hard. Some of them eat wood and destroy a whole house. And some are just crawling around in the sand in Puri, looking for some sweet beach to be eaten. So there are so many different types of ants. And they're very small. And among an ant, you know, how long they live, some of you may know specifically, may not be very long, but according to the relative state of the consciousness that is identified with in their body, even if they live a couple weeks, it seems like 100 years. Because they have families, they have babies, the babies grow up, they learn to walk. One of the reasons is a significant part of the Vedic literatures, and for that matter, scriptures all over the world, is actually teaching us how to find better material happiness. Artha Dhamma Kama Moksha. Even Lord Chaitanya tells Rupa Goswami that most people who even follow religious principles are doing it simply to improve the quantity and quality of their materialistic life. So many people turn to God to provide more prosperity and to solve material problems based on the mind and the body. And within the Vedic literature, because there is such a comprehensive understanding of the universe, traditionally, those who follow the Karma Kanda, the path of turning to God or the demigods to improve one's material situation, they are usually doing it in such a way so that when they die, they will attain heavenly planets. Because there's so little you could do to improve things in this world. In one sense, it's really ignorant to think we can improve all that much in this world. But in heavenly worlds, you could really get improvements. You could live much longer. Everything is much more pure. The enjoyments are so much more intensified. This world, padam bhatam yad vipadam natesham. There's so much danger at every step. So many things to be in anxiety about. In the heavenly worlds, people are more in the mode of goodness. In this world, we have to deal with goodness, passion, and ignorance. And the modes of ignorance and passion are very prominent, especially in Kali Yuga. So the path of Karma Kanda is very much, if you want to really improve your physical life, emotional life, then there's other planets where you could do it very well. And previously, to the times we're living now, in the Vedic culture, that is what people really did live for. People following this Karma Kanda system, which is most people trying to get a better life. Let me get it as good as I can in this life, but in such a way with so much piety and so much yajnas and so much, you know, different spiritual practices, that in my next life I will live in a heavenly existence. So Bhagavad Gita tells that most people who follow the Vedas, they listen to the flowery words of the Vedas with all of these promises. Because that's what most people want. Therefore, Krishna smashes it very strongly in this verse, from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest. They're all places of misery. He's actually speaking it in such a way that he wants us to have faith in his words. It's one thing to have faith in God, but real faith in God means to have faith in the words of God. And pertaining to this verse, it means having faith that whatever material situation you're trying to make, it's going to culminate in misery. Does that sound optimistic? It's actually very optimistic. Because unless we understand what we don't want, we won't really focus our attention on what we do want. So in this chapter, Lord in the Heart, it begins by describing how whether it's from following the Vedic paths by improving one's karma to achieve heavenly pleasures, or whether it's by mechanical processes of going to different planets, and that's becoming quite popular. Yes, people are flying rocket ships to other planets. And there's all kinds of investments going into building communities in other planets, and having vacations in other planets, developing businesses to get minerals from other planets, developing ecosystems in other planets, improving communications with other planets. It's becoming very popular. And it will become more and more popular as technology progresses. And Srila Prabhupada here explaining that in and of itself is not bad. But what we should know is what we're really looking for, where is it? That's the subject of this plaque, this chapter. The Lord is in our heart. And how important is this principle? How many times in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam does Krishna talk about being within our heart? Suratam sarvabhutanam. I'm within the heart of every living being. Sarvasya chaham hridishani vishko. From within the heart, I'm giving knowledge, forgetfulness. The soul, the living force, is within the heart of everyone. And the supreme soul, the Paramatma, is in the heart of everyone. And if we can't find the nature of our own soul within our heart, which was eternal and full of knowledge and full of bliss, and unless we understand our own soul's source of bliss, to be an eternal servant of the Paramatma who is in our heart, then we won't really find anything anywhere else. If we want to create real peace in the world, it has to begin by finding peace within ourselves. We can't really give something qualitatively that we don't have. So yes, how many hundreds and billions of dollars are being spent in technologies to go somewhere else? And how much attention is trying to reconnect with the closest thing in our life? We are the eternal soul within the heart. And the Paramatma is the closest thing in all of existence to our true self. Srila Prabhupada
He flew on airplanes. And in the course of time, he would probably be willing to go on rocket ships to other planets too. No problem with rocket ships. But to give that Paramatma, to give that Lord in the heart, to please that Lord in the heart, because that's Krishna consciousness. That's reality. And there was in the 1940s. How many of you were listening to the radio in 1940s? There was I wasn't either, but I heard about it. There was a famous song about trying to find happiness. You can go to the east, you can go to the west, you can go so many places. But when you finally come to conclusion, you'll see everything you're looking for is in your own backyard. Well, in this case, the heart is our own backyard. We could travel here, there, and everywhere, but if we can't find it within our own heart, we're not really going to find it anywhere. And actually, if you find it in your own heart, then you'll find it everywhere. You'll see it everywhere. Krishna consciousness doesn't isolate you. Rather, by finding Krishna in your heart, it empowers you to see Krishna in all hearts and everywhere else. So Krishna consciousness is finding that light of truth in Krishna within our own heart, and then for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for that person I'm never lost, nor are they ever lost to me. When we understand our own soul in bhakti, we can see Krishna everywhere. In this particular chapter, Sukadev Goswami, he puts such tremendous emphasis from the perspective of yoga practice on the Lord in the heart. He's describing how to meditate on the Lord within our own heart. You don't do this when you're shopping. This is the yoga practice where you're just sitting, really putting total absorption on seeing Krishna on a lotus flower and seeing his hands and what he's holding and his jewelry and the nature of his lotus eyes. And just absorbing yourself totally on seeing God within your own heart. And the principle here is absorption, to be absorbed. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vikra. That all the features, the form, the nature of Krishna, of God, have incarnated within the sound of the name. Meditation. Meditation in this sense means to be absorbed. Hearing. The transcendental sound vibration of Krishna's pastimes are Krishna's pastimes. Various ways of trying to explain this. But usually we hear it in hardly understand it because we're thinking of other things. We say the sound of hearing Krishna's teachings is non-different than Krishna's teachings. Non-different means they simply are his teachings. When we repeat Krishna, the sound vibration is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's faith when he was on the Jalajuta. He wasn't praying, make me a great Acharya, Krishna. He said, Krishna, let me speak your words. And from within their hearts, give them the ability to understand your words. And when Prabhupada would read his own books, he would turn to his assistant and he would say, these are Krishna's words. I'm just reading Krishna's words. So when we repeat Krishna, that is Krishna. Everyone's thinking, what does it say? That is distraction. Absorption. Putting our full attention on the sound vibration. And we find bhakti is so interconnected with the quality of our absorption. In our service, when we're really thinking in terms of, I'm doing this for Krishna, so it must be done with utmost care. In deity worship, there's so many little rules and regulations. And the greatest acharyas are doing that. What to speak of us? Because those rules and regulations, they're not just restrictions to discipline us. On a lower level they are. But they're a way to be totally absorbed in doing everything just right for Krishna. When Sati Mata would cook for Lord Chaitanya, every movement of her knife over a vegetable was an offering of pure ecstatic love for her child. She wasn't just going to. She was thinking of Lord Chaitanya's happiness with every cut. She was thinking of Lord Chaitanya's happiness with every spice, with whatever she did. She was absorbed in making it the best she possibly could for Krishna. In deity worship, it's an opportunity to be totally absorbed in making it, in offering a service to Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, and what in Krishna's pleasure is to be so beautiful that everybody in the world will come and be attracted. In cleaning, the Gundicha Marjanam is such an important service. Such an important service. Because cleaning is usually things we give to somebody else. That's a tendency. especially cleaning a building. So Gundicha is a temple, it's an altar, it's courtyards, it's walls, it's so many floors, ceilings. When Lord Chaitanya said, I want to clean Gundicha temple, get brooms and buckets, the devotees, the first thing they said is, anybody could do that here. You shouldn't do this, my Lord. Lord Chaitanya said, I will do it. And my closest associates. And in many ways, the cleaning of the Gundicha temple, it's a metaphor of cleaning our own heart, but it's a metaphor of Krishna consciousness in principle, that whatever we do in Krishna consciousness should be done, if it's being done for Krishna, the absorption of putting our whole heart and soul at doing it as perfect as we can. That's actually how we make spiritual progress. Not just getting things done, but absorbing ourselves and doing it with the right intention. Like the sound system. Making it just right. Like everything. Sitting for class. How much are we absorbed? In one sense, the words of Srimad Bhagavatam is like the water of the Gundicha temple. It's meant to clean our heart. Kirtan is like the broom sweeping the heart. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't allow his devotees to just be cleaning the Gundicha temple. He wanted their hearts to be on fire with enthusiasm, absorption, and attention. That's the real cleaning. The real cleaning is not the sweeping. The real cleaning is the intensity of our awareness, our absorption in cleaning. He told everyone, sweep every particle of sand, straw, and dust. Even what you don't see, see it. Usually you don't see because you don't look for it. But if you're looking for it, you see it. And he wanted everybody looking for it. And they swept and swept and swept. He said, now everybody, you know, take your all the dust, sand, and straw and put it in a pile. And everyone was collecting, took it outside and put it in a pile. Then he took his pile, and it was way, way bigger than everybody else put together. And there was a few hundred devotees in there. His pile was more than 200 devotees. And when everybody saw that, they wondered, they could understand. They weren't thinking, oh, he's God and I'm not God, so it doesn't matter. They were thinking, what have we done? And then he gave him another chance. He said, now let's go seeking finer particles of sand, straw, and dust and clean. And they all went back in again and again. And there was hundreds of devotees with buckets of water just waiting for his instruction. When the dust was clean enough, they were running back and forth and passing buckets from the different kuns and sarovars and wells. Lord Chaitanya was not only washing and washing and washing, but He was polishing it with his own cloth that he was wearing. And sometimes he didn't even require water. There were so many tears in his eyes of his gratitude to be cleaning Krishna's temple that he would be washing with his tears. That is absorption. In such a simple service as cleaning. And just see, right as we're talking, he's sweeping the altar. Hari Hari. Yesterday was Radhashtami. The Ratha Yatra is the day that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna in mood of the Mahabhav of Sri Radharani, is bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. So Gundicha is very much connected with that beautiful Leela. We read about during the Ratha Yatra parade, Swarup Damodar Goswami, who is Lalita Sakhi, Sri Radharani's very, very close friend. He's singing beautiful songs that are perfectly corresponding with Srimati Radharani's state of consciousness. Yugayatam nameshena chakshusha pravrashayatam sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Such absorption is inconceivable to our minds. This is an absorption of love. An absorption of love means an absorption of a desire to serve and give pleasure to our beloved. In bhakti, absorption is not an absorption to possess or to have or to be. It's an absorption to give, an absorption to serve. When Krishna departed from Vrindavan along with Balaramji, with Akrura, from that moment, the Vrijavasis, they understood the heart of Krishna. How can you know the heart of Krishna? There's only one way. It's not through intellectual scholarship. You can know the heart of Krishna when Krishna reveals his heart to us. And there's no other way. Samsidhir Hari Toshanam. And Krishna reveals his heart to us according to how he's pleased with us. And Krishna's pleased with us according to how we're actually Sharanagati. We're surrendering our will to his will. The residents of Vrindavan, their exclusive meditation, 24 hours a day. It was the ultimate highlight of meditation. There may be people in caves sitting with their eyes closed meditating. There may be those crying out Krishna's names in meditation. the goal is the total absorption of meditation, of playing with Krishna and Vrindavan. The cowherd boys, their play is total meditation because they're 100% absorbed in making Krishna happy and making everybody happy for Krishna's happiness. And the gopis, they're dancing for Krishna. They're cooking for Krishna. Everything was for Krishna. And the spontaneity of Vrindavan was most pleasing to Krishna. They were informal with Krishna. Their madhurya rasa, in the sense, Vrindavan is madhurya dham. Everything, whether you're Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, or Madhuryaras, everything is permeated with Sri Radharani's Madhurya. Everything is permeated, therefore it is Madhurya Dham. And the spontaneity of Vrindavan, they're absorbed in giving pleasure with Krishna. And therefore, they are the highest transcendental, most realized souls in all of existence. But their nature is not a single Brijavasi thinks that they're spiritually advanced at all. Even Srimati Radharani, she's thinking, I'm not qualified. Srila Prabhupada would say, if you pray to Sri Radha, then Radharani will say to Krishna, please accept this devotee. He's better than me, or she's better than me. And Prabhupada says, she feels that way. That's why she's the supreme. In love, there's total humility. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Radha in her fullest revelation of ecstatic bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, I don't have a drop of love for Krishna. If I did, why am I living? And he means it. Now, does that mean he's feeling miserable? That's actually the highest ecstasy, because that's the crescendo of love. So the residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna went to Mathura, and when he went to Dwarka, and he was living in palaces, and he had so many queens, and he was wearing magnificent... And when they came to see him in Kurukshetra, and he was wearing crowns, and there was elephants and armies, on one level, they're thinking, we are so unqualified compared to all these great queens of the highest dynasties. We are so unqualified, we're churning butter, and they're sitting on thrones and ruling over countries. But actually, they may say like that, but that's not the way they're feeling. They're feeling, how sad. Krishna's not in Vrindavan. Krishna wants to be with the parrots. He doesn't want to be with all these kings. He wants to be with the peacocks and the cowherd boys. He doesn't want to be ruling states. He wants to play. He doesn't want to be sitting on thrones. He wants to dance with gopis. Vrindavan is Vrindavan. It's his eternal home. So they're thinking of him. And Sri Radharani, she's suffering like anything because Krishna's not home in Vrindavan. And she knows how much Krishna loves her. and how Krishna is away from her. Kaviraj Goswami tells the gopis, they dress nicely, not because they like to look in the mirror and think, I'm so nice. They do look in the mirror. They look in the mirror just like you and me to see how nice they look. But they do it in a different way. They look in the mirror thinking, how Krishna will enjoy this. Let me make it so perfect so Krishna will enjoy it. So this is Ratha Yatra. Sri Radharani and her Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Sri Radha and the residents of Vrindavan, they are bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. Finally! After so many long years away, we know this is where you're happiest. Please come back to Vrindavan. And because they know how much Krishna loves them, they will talk about their own unhappiness just as a means of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. So Kunticha is Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya, he's saying that we must clean this Kunticha, this Vrindavan, so it's absolutely perfect, so that when Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra come here, they will be in their happiest state. That was their mood. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada and our beloved Srila Prabhupada, they reveal Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intention that the Kundicha temple represents Vrindavan in the Ratha Yatra. But in our lives, the Kundicha temple represents our heart. Because we want our heart to be a Vrindavan where Krishna is happy to live. And the reality is Krishna is already living in our heart. And this is the principle of bhakti. We're looking for the solutions to the problems of this world through so many methods of technology and industry and business and politics and sociology and psychology and psychiatry and philosophy and everything else. And why are we trying to solve all these problems of the world? So that people could be happy. Anandamayo vyashat. Actually, ultimately, everyone's just looking for happiness. And the problem with climate change is it's going to bring about unhappiness. If we don't have food, if it's too cold, if everything gets destroyed, if it's too hot, if there's floods, if there's disease, it means unhappiness. What to speak of wars create so much unhappiness. What to speak of communal conflict creates so much unhappiness. Poverty creates so much unhappiness. We're all looking for happiness. We're all looking for ways within our own life, our own family, and the world itself to improve the quality of happiness. So yes, we're inventing so many machines constantly. Every invention is improving every year. Yes, so many different technological aspects are being added as special features to whatever we have. We're taking vacations to other lands. And now we're so frustrated with all the problems on this planet. We're trying to find happiness on other planets. Hope against hope. It seems like a desert up there, but you know, we're going to make it into an oasis where you're going to come and have and go on vacations, and we're going to make a lot of money because you're doing like that. It's not that it's bad. I think that the motives of people trying, you know, this type of exploration to try to bring broader spans of happiness, the problem is it's misdirected. Literally, all the happiness that this universe, this cosmic manifestation with all of its varieties, none of those things could make us happy. All the happiness that we're seeking forever is within our own heart. Krishna, again and again, emphasizes, I am your best friend, I am your ever-well-wisher, and I am in your heart. Can anyone propose an argument? Is there anything closer than your own heart? If anyone has any hypothesis. Is there anything closer to you, your soul, than your own heart? In fact, as far as needs go, you don't necessarily need another place, but you need your heart. Could any of you live physically without your heart? Please raise your hand. So the heart is the very center. And, you know, when we talk about losing love, we say, my heart is broken. Something like that. We talk about broken hearts. And how many songs are about broken hearts? It's probably the most sung about subject in our modern history is broken hearts. Because the heart is so close. And why the heart? Why when what we even feel love in our heart, we feel the flooding of our heart, or we feel the breaking of our heart, according to, you know, affection. Because the Atma, the Jiva, the soul is within the heart. It's the sitting place of the soul. And the supreme object of love that everyone is seeking, the supreme happiness, the ananda that everyone is longing for, that everyone is striving for, is the Paramatma, the closest thing to the soul within our own heart. And if we can't find him there, we can't find him anywhere. Now, yes, Srila Prabhupada was with Krishna in his heart, and he was bringing that message through sound vibration on airplanes, and he would probably take rocket ships if he could spread Krishna consciousness there. There's no problem with these technologies. He was using, in those days, it was the highest technology there was practically for ordinary people, the dictaphones. Now dictaphones are, I don't even know if they exist. So he was using all technologies to share the glories of what is in your heart. And in today, so in this chapter, the Lord of the heart, it is describing how the Lord is in your heart. And how to meditate on the Lord of your heart. And how to meditate on the Lord of your heart in such a way. Sukadev Goswami is giving all kinds of instructions so that you're actually absorbed. Samadhi, you're absorbed in meditating on the Lord of your heart. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is telling this to Parikshit in a few verses. But actually, the transcendental sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam is not different than the Lord of the heart. It's about the Lord in the heart. It's the words of the Lord in the heart, or it's the words about the Lord in the heart, and therefore transcendentally is not different than the Lord in the heart. So actually, by being absorbed, by meditationally being absorbed in hearing, shravanam, we are meditating on the Lord of the heart. Om pavitra pavitro vasarvavastam gatopiva. Yes, Marit Pundarikaksam Sabayabhyantarasichi. Krishna's pure. According to how we absorbed ourselves in hearing, through the process of hearing. But we have to hear, like Lord Chaitanya and his associates were cleaning the Gundicha temple. We have to have that attentiveness. When we're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, the Vaishnava literatures, when we're hearing in classes, when we really are striving to be absorbed, we're being cleansed because Krishna's pavitra, Krishna's all pure. And Krishna's not different than his names. Nam nama kari bahuta nija sarva shaktis. Krishna tells that all of your power, all of your sweetness, all of your beauty, all of your glory, your form, your nature, your abode, everything is within your name. When we chant japa, when we chant kirtan, like Gundicha, we must be very, very careful. In one sense, the cleaning of the Gundicha temple is teaching us how we should hear, how we should read, how we should chant our japa. With gratitude, with absorption. Actually, the absorption and the intent of how we're hearing about the Lord and chanting His glories is what determines our relationship with Krishna. It's not superficial. What is our relationship with Krishna? Eternally we have a relationship with Krishna. But how are we cultivating our relationship with Krishna? It's determined by the sincerity. And sincerity cannot be separated from the intensity of our absorption. If we're sincerely cleaning the floor, it doesn't mean we're going, I really want to go to Mahabaleshwar and... If we're sincerely cleaning the floor, it's, this is Krishna's floor, and I'm so grateful. I get, this is what the gopis get to do in the spiritual world. Every particle, I must make it the best I possibly can. That's sincerity. To sincerely chant our japa means to sincerely, I want to clean my heart because that's where my real prospect is. We want to make the world a better place. And we should work to make the world a better place. But intrinsically, inseparably to making the world a better place, we need to make our heart a better place. Because to make a world a better place means to fill it with love, with Krishna's love. To the degree we're instruments of Krishna's love, we can do actually great things. Why Srila Prabhupada is describing here? Because when Lord Chaitanya asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, of the 9 processes of devotional service, which is most important? And Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Sri Radharani, he said, Kirtanam, the chanting of the holy names. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. The prime benediction for all humanity is this kirtan. Harinama Harinam Harinam Eva Kevalam Kalonas Deva Nas Deva Nas Deva Gatiranyat. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way than this chanting of the holy names in this age of Kali. To reach this love for Krishna that's within. But in other places, including today's verse, it's putting the highest emphasis on hearing. Because they're inseparable. What is intense chanting? Hearing. When you are chanting the holy names, you're absorbed in hearing what you're chanting. And you won't know what to chant unless you hear. Unless we hear Shikshastakam, unless we hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we won't understand the value of chanting. And we won't understand how important it is to be attentive, which means hearing when we're chanting. The instruction when we're chanting is to hear. And the instruction of hearing is to chant. So this hearing and chanting are very much inseparable. Chanting is most important, but what brings the quality of chanting is our hearing, and it is through hearing that we learn how to chant and what to chant. So sravanam kirtanam. And it is described here that Srila Prabhupada explains any one of the 9 processes. Or any combination of the 9 processes can bring about the highest perfection. But it begins with hearing and chanting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Sri Radharani, Vrindavan is a place of total absorption. Yes, Lord Chaitanya talked in so many ways. He demonstrated what is most beneficial for us to understand of the mood of Sri Radharani's Mahabhav. They sound quite absorbed, actually. Is that the Ganesh submersions?
Wonderful.
So, in Ramakali, Lord Chaitanya brought, there were hundreds and thousands of devotees that followed him to Ramakali. Everywhere he went, from every village, they were coming, bigger. They just wanted to be part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan. And the Nawab Hussein Shah was living there. He was there. And he made a law that people would be punished, plundered, or even killed if they publicly followed another religious act. And Sankirtan was definitely that. And Lord Chaitanya is just right in the middle of the town, singing with hundreds and thousands of people. And Rupa and Sanatan, they sent a message to him, please stop. Now the king is favorable, but he may change. He's not a controlled person. And the messenger stood there for one full day. And Lord Chaitanya was so absorbed in chanting, not even for a single moment was he inattentive to the holy names, where he didn't even acknowledge the existence of anything but kirtan. Several days passed like that. And the messengers left. They had to go to sleep. They told the devotees, you know, everybody's in danger. Somebody has to, you know. So the devotees waited for days. And finally, Lord Chaitanya realized himself. And he said, what are you afraid of? I am the Lord. I can do anything. If I do not tell the king to come to see me, he cannot come to see me. But that was his absorption in kirtan. And when he did kirtan in Navadvip, chanting throughout the whole night, every night at Srivasa's house, such an absorption. He actually told devotees, we're chanting all day, we're sleeping at night, why should we waste this time? We should chant all night for the next 1 year. And everybody said yes. Such absorption. And his absorption in Rath Yatra, when he was bringing Krishna, when she was bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. And then beyond that, in Puri, in the Gambira, Lord Chaitanya's total absorption in remembering Krishna and chanting Krishna's names and meditating on Krishna. This is how Srimati Radharani came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to actually share the highest, most intimate ecstasies of reciprocal love in a way that's exemplary for you and me to follow. That is Lord Chaitanya. That is what Srila Prabhupada has come to share with us. Let us take responsibility. Let us not be distracted by all this other stuff. Srila Prabhupada's talking about technology and ways of communicating, and now we can use technology to blaspheme people, to criticize people, to create doubts in people. Why? Because there's something missing in our own hearts. We have to find that. We have to find that treasure in our own heart. And then we actually can give real value to the things of this world. Would you like to say something, Radhishankar? I know you're not allowed to talk much, but you can say something. Radhishyam Prabhu has an illness with his voice, but we are asking him to spare, because he's been so silent for so long. I think there will be great potency, but we need to give him a microphone. Anyone here today? Everyone could hear. Did you do something different? Huh? What? Congratulations. You are echoing. Someone could do kirtan till I come back. Radhe Shyam Prabhu, anything else? Yes. In essence, the question?